Content warning for this episode: the effects of emotional abuse and controlling parenting.
On the cover, the blurry outlines of city buildings crowd a darkened street corner, lit by the stars and dull yellow street lamps. Nine shadows walk in different directions, at different paces. They all seem to have come from the same place, and none seem to know exactly where to head next. On the inside cover, a note from the editor. Thank you for accepting our kids. Thank you for making Outstanding a success. We had so much fun making it, and we hope you enjoyed listening. Now, sit back and relax, and enjoy the finale of Outstanding.
Introducing Protean City's newest generation. These kids prove that with a little attitude, a lot of courage, and even more heart, you're never too young to be a hero. This issue featuring...
I'm Elliot Nagra. Do you mind?
I'm Sailfish, and I'm not about to let evil off the hook.
I'm Slingshot, and I never miss.
Everything will be okay. I'm Promise.
I'm Proud Patriot and Rattlesnake. Don't worry, it's a sound plan.
I'm Fenix, and I'll show the world that good can rise from evil.
I'm Ray, and I'm Artie, and two brains are better than one.
I'm Night Shift, and I will put a stop to this.
I am Shield Mouse. Never judge a hero by their size.
So get ready for action, because these kids are outstanding.
This is Outstanding, issue number 16, Into the Dark.
The Bloodomancer is going to walk up to the barrier and sort of knock on it half-heartedly, like it's a door. He's going to say, yeah, excuse me, I would just like to, if it's all right with you, I would just like to get over to that elevator, if that would be all right. I am not interested in this whole situation, and I would just see myself right out of here, if you won't mind. And he sort of winks at you.
I'm just so shocked by all of this. I don't even know how to act.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still, I'm going to interact with the Bloodomancer. And I'm going to put down my barrier, yes. But also, I'm going to attempt to use my vitality consumption on the Bloodomancer, sort of to like give me my own second wind of energy, but also to take it away from him.
Awesome. So there's a two-pronged thing here. So the wall goes down, and he's like, oh, much obliged, my lady. I'll just be heading on out then. And he goes to walk just past you. And this is your opportunity to use vitality consumption on him. That's unleashing your powers.
Okay, so that's only a 4. Oh, shoot.
It's a 4?
Yeah.
My God, y'all. So he's just going to, like, tip his imaginary hat that he once had to you and just stroll on by. And in that moment, you were trying so hard to concentrate on this thing, but you are so exhausted and, like, depleted, and your energy is failing you. And I'm going to ask you to take a powerful blow, because in that moment where you're trying to use your energy to control him, you have just exhausted yourself.
I'm going to mark a doom also, because overexerting myself is my doom.
Oh, great. Perfect.
Yeah. It's a party.
All right. And then roll to take a powerful blow.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Okay. All right. It's an 8.
Great. Yeah. Fantastic. On a 7 to 9, you choose one. Lash out verbally to provoke a teammate to foolhardy action, or take advantage of your influence to inflict a condition. Give ground. Your opposition gets an opportunity, or you struggle past the pain and mark 2 conditions.
I'm going to struggle past the pain and mark 2 conditions. I'm going to mark insecure, because, wow, that was embarrassing. I've been, like, a heavy in this whole game, and now everything's falling
apart. Now you're
apart.
Too tired.
Yeah, now I'm so tired, and I really need a nap and, like, a banana or something. So I'm marking, I'm marking insecure, and then I'm going to mark afraid.
Fantastic. So as you are feeling this wave of exhaustion and depletion hit you, you hit the ground. You fall to your knees on the ground, and Ellis is next to you. And the two of you are sort of just recovering from the blows that you're taking. We're taking these actions slowly. They're all happening very quickly. So a lot of meanwhile happening. Meanwhile, the door on the cell of Dr. DeVillis has been boiled through. And everyone in the echoey chamber of this void hears a click. And the door starts to creak its way open. Max, you hear the click. What do you do?
Throughout the fight up to this point, we have occasionally seen Max in panel through while other people are doing things. And he's been keeping his eyes completely fixed on that door. He's been watching it like with just an intense amount of concentration. And as it seems to be getting to the point where it's weak, he jumps off of Ray's shoulder and to the ground between between everybody and the door itself. And he's watched everything go completely to shit in just like no time, and realizes that it's the moment for him to take the training wheels off, to take off his what's the word? To finally let loose. And I am going to use my moment of truth.
Oh, baller. Cool. Tell us about your moment of truth then.
So I will read the move. This is what you do best. You let loose all the pent-up strength and rage and glee, and you break whatever stands in your way. You are a walking demolition crew. What can stand up to you? Nothing. Not buildings, not structures, not enemies, nothing. Of course, now the people who changed you know exactly where to find you. Max gets a quick little bit of background reveal here, which is that he's been trying to fight the wrong way the whole time. He's seen other heroes, and he sees people like a super strong guy grab someone and throw him, or to throw a punch to, you know, put his body in front of other people. And that's not the way that he was designed to fight. He was meant to be a projectile. That's what the scientists at the laboratory that created him were making him to be. And wow. So he squares his shoulders, plants all 4 feet on the ground. And for the first time, we've seen him do his little maneuver where he will sort of fire himself from one surface to another or up onto a building. This is, everybody thinks of that as a transport. That is his actual primary mode of attack. And it goes off like a cannon shell, like leaves a crater in the ground beneath him. And he flies straight through what remains of that door, which unlocked but hasn't opened yet, leaving a little hole behind, and hits Dr. DeVillis like a cannon shell straight to the chest with just an incredible amount of power.
So for the purposes of masks, we're going to say you don't go straight through him and there's blood, gore, and
No.
All this that is stuff.
Yeah. comics physics apply, of course.
And I'm going to even say that the two of you push the momentum of you hitting his body sends both of you through the back of the thing, and the whole back wall just detaches from the other walls, and the wall, DeVillis and you hit the back of the wall. He was not ready for that force. He did not see that shit coming. He had no idea, and he hits his head on the wall and collapses to the floor unconscious.
Okay.
And there's this moment where you get to be a full-on hero stance. So what's your hero reaction to this? You know what you just did.
The thing is, he didn't do it the way he thought he should. And so we get when the smoke clears, we see that the sheer heat and force of his projectile maneuver destroyed his little helmet and shield. They're gone. And has even like torn off like his tank top is gone. His shorts are now shredded, and he's on all fours. And we see a panel or two of him just breathing super heavy, you know, as he regained, because he used absolutely everything he had in that strength or in that one blow. Mm-hmm. And then he stands up on his hind feet and sees the collapsed form of Dr. DeVillis, and we get just the small, like normally his smiles are huge and take over his whole face. And this time all he gets is one little smirk, and then he falls to his knees and he's done. That's it.
Like he passes out?
No, he's just completely exhausted.
Okay.
He's great. Used all of the energy.
Ray, you've just seen your best friend become this thing that you've never seen him be before in all its glory. And he just took out the number one biggest, scariest thing in the room. this from the beginning of this arc when he was diminished to his mere form of a mouse, being deemed not a hero.
I don't think Ray can contain himself. He's like, hell yes, that's how you do it! And he looks over and he sees Max is not down for the count, but he's used himself up. He sees Roberta is burning out. He sees that everyone else is kind of engaged or otherwise occupied or just being like tossed around like a rag doll. Promise, sorry. And he says, it's time to end this. Artie, Protocol Omega. And you watch as the shell of Artie opens up and a sort of like projectile emerges from his chest. And I'm using my moment of truth.
Oh my god, you guys. So funny. All right, tell us about your moment of truth.
Sooner or later, all the superpowers, elite training, and experience are helpless in the face of evil or disaster. That's when somebody like you, gifted as you are with the peerless intellect, can rise to the occasion. Your plan, your invention, or your lightning-fast thought processes save the day in a way that no one else could have foreseen. Of course, after you've shown how different you are from them, that distance between you and the others is now that much greater. And the world is only going to pull you farther apart.
God, I love this so much. All right.
So,
tell us about your moment of truth.
You see this projectile emerge from Artie's chest, and it's actually Artie's core. This is his heart. And he says, Ray looks at Artie one last time, and he says, see you on the other side, buddy.
It has been an honor to serve with you, Raymond.
And Artie's heart ejects from his body and impacts Source Error and creates a mini EMP that shorts out Source Error. Artie drops to his knees. You see all of his LEDs and stuff power down, and the shell of Artie just kind of collapses on the
And what happens to Source Error when she's impacted by this projectile?
You see the electricity, the electric waves that have been like encapsulating her since she emerged from her cell, dissipate into like waves on a pond, sort of, as she drops to the ground. And she's down.
She's down. I'm going to say, yeah, and it, like, you see, like, the electricity start to, like, arc off of her, and she just, like, and is down. And the heart of Artie lays next to her, having done his job. And I'm going to jump over to Cesaro. Cesaro, you aimed to take care of Dr. DeVillis, and you just fell short, and you ended up causing more problems. And you just saw Max, your buddy, shoot at him like a projectile and knock him out on the back wall. And then immediately following, you saw Ray, the other person you rolled up with, take out Source Error, in so doing sacrificing his most prized creation and friend. You see these two huge acts of heroism happening back to back. What do you do? You still have repeat offender. And Adam Trace, who is currently still being held by Elliot, but they're still around.
I think Cesaro had a thought of like, why the fuck am I even here?
Oh yeah, like the moment of insecurity.
Yeah, and inadequacy. I think honestly, the thing that Cesaro at the moment is like most concerned about is the friend who got two shots of like a bullet into a man. I think maybe the thing you want to do is like make sure he's okay.
So you want to go check on Max?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Aww. So you see Max kind of over collapsed on the floor next to the body of Dr. DeVillis, who is not dead, just for the purposes of saying that. He is just unconscious and wounded. But you see your friend Max, and you run up to him, and he's laying on the ground. What do you do?
I crouch down to him and I say, hey, Max, you okay there?
Yeah, I'm fine. Help the others, save them.
Yeah, if I'm beyond it, just I hold a hand for you to for you to get on if you want me to pick you up.
He'll like kind of he moves a lot slower than he normally would, but he gets up into your hand and you hear him like say, "They're still villains. We need to help."
Then I'm gonna I had that fire sword. I'm gonna turn it.
Before you do the thing, I just wanted to have if I can have Max say, "You got this, buddy."
Oh. Are you comforting and supporting? Or I don't know if he was. Were you in a moment where you needed to hear those words?
I mean, he's feeling a bit inadequate, but also it's a thing of just like you can say that doesn't mean I believe it. Doesn't mean it mean anything.
All yeah. right, let's do it then. Let's have Max roll to comfort and support, and just give you that little extra boost because Max
it's not
just
gonna
did do
it's gonna
this.
Be a fail.
Oh, it's going to be a fail.
I got terrible mundane. That is a 7 minus 1 for my mundane. So that is a 6.
Is there anyone who would like to use a team to shout words of encouragement at Cesaro as he aims to take out the last remaining person besides Adam Trace?
I'm not going to lie. I want to see Rattlesnake do it because she is the best at cheerleading, even if it never works.
At shouting.
She is very good at projecting. Because I'm going to assume that Sorcerer just kind of like went down. And so now Rattlesnake's just kind of looking around like, what's going on? Who's still a threat? And so
totally.
She sees Phoenix just like barreling towards this other villain. It's like, yeah, you got this. And she's doing like her projecting thing. She's not really meaning to. It just kind of happens. And so, and it might also be a little weird because nobody really knows who she is. Except for Ellie. Random person cheering you on. Hopefully that helps.
So, yeah, now you have a close friend who you've just seen be a real hero encouraging you. And you have a person yelling at you from across the room that you got
her.
This and you are, yeah. Oh, you don't know that she's Rattlesnake. She's in a different, she has a secret identity as
okay.
Rattlesnake. But you have this person yelling at you from across the room that you got this and like drawing attention to you being a hero. So we're going to call that a yes. On a hit, they hear you, mark potential. Clear a condition or shift labels if they open up to you.
I'm going to open up, but I think if I may, it's a saying thing. I think the way I open up is that the fire wing in my back flare up more.
Mm-hmm.
I probably can shift colors. You know, regular orange fire at the wings first, and I think I shifted to yellow because you know yellow is a color of
yeah.
The yellow color of savior, I imagine.
Sure.
So yeah, wing shift to a bright yellow, and I turn that fire sword mine lead into the next move, into a fire whip, and I just wrap it around. I crack the whip and I wrap it around Repeat's throat and pull on it to knock him off balance and like slam his head into the ground.
Okay. Roll to directly engage a threat.
Yeah, and to like complete the last move first, I'm gonna raise Savior and Lord Mundane.
Okay. And roll to directly engage a threat, please.
I rolled a 10 on the dice.
Oh, fantastic. Great.
I think I have plus 1 danger.
Great. So on a 10 plus, resist or avoid, you pick 2. Resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, create an opportunity for your allies to impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
Impress, surprise, frighten the opposition, and create opportunity for my allies.
Great. So you wrap the whip around his like neck, and he gets his hands under there, and he's like fighting and pulling, and he is scared. Like, he came into this fight with a group of children and thought that he had this figured out. And you just came at him like full force, firepower, like confidence, like a real a contender, like a hero that he did not expect to come for him. And You're creating an opportunity for your allies. He is pulled to the ground and he is struggling against this, but he is not incapacitated yet, but he is stuck. Ellis, this is your moment to prove what side of this fight you're on, girl. Your dad is up against the wall with your brother.
With Elliot.
Yep. And you see Repeat on the ground, sort of very near you. And he needs to be contained or stopped. Or you can go for your dad and your brother. If you just want to ignore that situation, that's fine too.
Okay, so I'm also next to Night Shift.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both like on the ground kind of catching our breath. I'm going to put my hand near hers, not on hers. I'm not going to touch her. She's going to kill me. But I'm just going to like make it clear I'm talking to her and say, you've got this and I'm so sorry. And Ellis is going to, for the first time, tap into her cosmic might powers that have always been on like the fringe of who she is as a person. She's always been so good with her ability to just aim at anything and hit all the targets, and she hasn't needed this before, but right now her brother is alone with her father, and that's not okay. And she's never flown before, but she sure as fuck is going to try.
Yeah.
So how does our storyteller want to do this, because I'm going up there to meet my dad.
Great, then we're
going to
pause. So there's going to be this moment where this body is flung in front of you and you turn to Roberta and apologize. And you are just going to like somehow pull yourself into flight. Like it just comes out of you all of a sudden. You are lifted off the ground and Roberta is like just there with this person in front of her. And like you have just like flown for the first time, which is very strange. Mar, where are you?
He's basically keeping an eye on Elliot. The rest of his friends have this fight handled.
So you're closer to over there.
Yes. He's, to put it short, he's here to make sure Elliot doesn't do something he regrets.
Fantastic. So then I'm going to jump back to Promise then. Promise, you've seen this person be thrown to the ground. Your good buddy, Fenix, has thrown him to the ground with fire around his throat. What do you do?
I have a question.
Sure.
Is the Bloodomancer just gone?
The Bloodomancer has left the building. He got in the bougie elevator and he pushed one and he just went upstairs and he was like, see y'all later.
All right, because a lot's happened very fast and I wasn't sure if he was just on the way or he's out.
He said, peace. Good question. So the only baddie that is still not totally incapacitated is Repeat Offender and Adam Trace, who is currently being held. They're both currently being held, but you're closer to Repeat Offender right now.
Right. And also Ellis is still up.
And Ellis, you're right. If we're counting Ellis as not maybe a goodie, she is still up.
The person who's repeatedly said that she's on the side of Adam Trace no matter what else happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I'm. Promise has had a very rough night. She's gotten tossed around a lot, which isn't fun, especially if you've had several milkshakes and a lot of donuts.
She did eat a lot of sugar.
She's kind of roughed up. I honestly don't know what Promise can do right now, because
that's
Cesaro's got Repeat all flame whipped and she's not getting anywhere near that. And Elliot is having a very intimate moment with his dad.
You've also just seen Ray sacrifice Artie for the good of the team.
Oh yeah, I was right next to Source Error when that happened. So yeah. I think Promise is going to look down at her feet where the Artie heart thing is, and kind of pick that up and walk it over to Ray and be like, you can fix him, right?
Yeah. His memory's backed up to the cloud, so I should be able to restore him fine. It's just weird to see your best friend die.
Okay. And she's going to push the heart into Ray's hands. Like, you can just like put that back in, and then maybe next time you could use the cannon to shoot me when I'm small, because that looked fun.
I think Ray kind of like he's clearly like distraught, and he smiles through the tears and he says, Yeah, we maybe next time we can have like a contest with you and Max and see who does better flips. That would be cool.
Oh man, I'd win that. Like, you're the smartest person around, but I'm definitely better at flips than Max is.
Promise, go ahead and roll to comfort and support Ray.
Cool. Glad I got that last bit in, because I do have a move that says if I can tell someone how they exemplify the best parts of Earth,
oh,
I
great.
Can comfort and support with superior instead of mundane.
Great.
Which, since I'm angry, makes it just a flat roll. But I rolled a 10 anyways.
Yay! On a 10 plus, you can also add a team to the pool or clear a condition yourself. But they hear you, they mark potential, clear a condition, or shift labels if they open up to you. Ray.
Yeah, this has been a rough night. I'm glad that I could have my family here with me, though. It makes things a lot better. We should probably help Cesaro and get this over with, I think.
And are you clearing condition, mark potential, or shift labels?
I'm going to clear angry.
Great. And Promise, you may also add a team to the pool or clear a condition.
I'm going to clear afraid because my friends have taken out like every single villain that's shown up so far.
Awesome. Fantastic. In this moment, we have repeat offender pretty much contained at the moment. He's sort of in like a flame whip situation. Ellis has taken off from the ground, flown, I presume, towards her brother and father, and Mar is watching from the ground, ready to help at a moment's notice. Ellis, you fly towards your brother and your father having this standoff, and your father is afraid, but he still thinks in his confidence that he can win over. It's his kid. It's his son. Of course he always wanted this. And now you're flying. Ideal. So proud. And he looks at his son, and Elliot, he says to you, "You're just as amazing as I always hoped you'd be. Think of the things we could do together." And he's trying to shift your labels. He's trying to up your superior and lower your, I'm going to say, your freak. You're not out of control. You're in control. You're capable.
I'm going to roll to reject.
Okay.
That's a 9. I rolled a 9.
Great. On a 7 to 9, choose one. Clear a condition or mark potential by immediately acting to prove them wrong. Shift one label up and one label down, your choice, or cancel their influence and take one plus one forward against them.
I know what I'm going to do. I am going to cancel hopeless.
Okay.
Because I feel like this is entirely what's going on, and I am going to roll to prove them wrong.
You don't have to roll to prove.
No, I am going to just do. I'm going to be them wrong. Given the framing of the situation in my head, if Ellis has something to say, I'd like her to say it before Elliot rejects.
So I think those words get spoken as she's an earshot of them. Ellis, you hear this happen, and you get to watch your brother start to process it.
I think if she's hearing that, she'll... Elliot, be careful. You're the reason we're here in the first place.
What are you trying to do, Miss Ellis?
I don't want my dad to die. I am just stating a fact. I don't think she's intending to do anything.
Okay. Is that spending an influence to mark a condition on your brother? It sounds like that's exactly what's happening. So go ahead and mark a condition, and you can cancel your influence then, Ellis.
I'm going to mark insecure because I feel like that cuts pretty deep.
Mm-hmm. And you have already rejected the influence, rejected the shift from your dad, so you're free to act now.
Yeah. So, a lot of things happen at once, but one very simple thing happens at once, which is that I am going to spend 2 burn, and I am going to overcharge my flare.
My favorite one.
My favorite one. It's the perfect moment, and I think it is that absolute Nova moment wherein, like, he blinks, and then, like, Ellis is speaking, and Trace is speaking, and he's just like, "Oh, for everything I hoped I'd be, you're the reason we're here, Elliot." And I think he's just going to, like, fly back off the wall. Like, it looks like he's holding Trace, but he obviously isn't. It's obviously telekinesis. And there is, like, a shockwave out from where he is. So, like, that'll knock Ellis back somewhat. The strength of the shockwave and how it affects people, you know, is up to, I guess, the conscience of the individual player. But, like, it is effectively that psychic emanation where he is just going to start flying up, dragging Trace with him, and he is too upset to speak. He doesn't have a fun, pithy one-liner. He is just really, really upset.
And what are you doing? You're pulling him up, or with the intention of
dropping him, okay, or frightening him, or smashing through the roof of the prison?
Okay.
He's just going up until he can't up anymore, and then he will make a decision about what is next.
So you're going to go up quite a while. We're going to say like 10 stories at least. And you're going to see a ceiling above you, and you're going to reach that ceiling. And in this moment, your dad is terrified of you. And in that moment, he starts to shake, and he's crying, and he starts to tear, and he's like, Just let me go. Just let me go. I didn't mean anything by it. I just wanted to get out. And you know, your sister, she's like, you know, does whatever I say. And I thought, and he just like word vomits all of this at you, all of the manipulation, all of the things, the tactics that he's used to manipulate your sister into getting y'all in this situation. And he's just like leaking, and he's genuinely afraid that you're gonna just end him right here. What do you do?
I know exactly what I do.
Great.
This is a finale, and yeah, Elliot's being a Nova, but it's about all of us. Mm-hmm. And given how Elliot is kind of frightened of using the psychic part of his powers, like the telekinesis he's pretty confident in, but the mental stuff is really upsetting. He is going to open his mind to Trace. He's going to effectively make a psychic link with him and Trace. And he is going to make that same link with all of the Peacoy kids down in the basement who have all been frightened or like hurt, you know, Artie, you know, Ray losing Artie and Night Shift being exhausted and Proud Patriot seeing her, Rattlesnake seeing her best friend turn on her and Max's exhaustion and all of these, you know, these moments. And he's going to linger on Ma, his best friend, who knows how much it hurts to hear those words from your father, and also who knows what Trace did to Ma, and is going to basically, I think, psychically communicate with him and just say, "You're afraid, Father? I thought you were so proud of me. I thought you'd be proud of all of us. Didn't you always want a gang of super kids to boss around? Isn't this what you wanted? For me to be your weapon, Father?"
You say these things to him, and he's just melting in the face. And he's like, "Okay, fine. I'm a terrible dad. Whatever. Please just, like, let me go. Just put me down. I'll go back to jail. I don't care. Just don't kill me." Like, and he, in this moment, has no attachment to you as a father. Like, he is just desperate to not die. And he is hearing your words, but they don't affect him in, like, the moral sense. They affect him in the, like, "Okay, this is why you're mad. I get it. Sure. Just don't kill me."
Can I ask for an indulgence? Given that basically his words and his emotions and all of this are being telegraphed to all of the outstanding kids.
Yeah.
I want to see up the split panel of everyone's reactions to kind of realizing that the man at the center of all of this is actually just a sniveling coward who doesn't deserve to be a dad. I think
Love
we
it.
All need to work through that.
Love it. Let's start with Alea.
Rattlesnake is just pissed because Ellis is like her best friend, and like, for her dad to turn out to be this person and to do this to her, and she considers Elliot, you know, by extension, kind of like a little brother. And so she is just incredibly angry at the type of person this guy turned out to be and this entire situation they got drug into because of him.
Cesaro.
I feel like it's just fear from him, really. Of fear from Elliot, mostly. In the sense of this is a huge display of power. He tapped into my my brain, like, just like that. And you know, this man is fearing for his life, and I don't want to know if he's right to fear for his life. Like in character, I don't know that. So it's just like, yeah, he is an understanding of like shitty dad. I get that. I like my parents. but they're all still definitely the fear
of Elliot. Awesome. Roberta.
So Roberta's still on the ground, but yeah, she's, you know, hearing all of this, and all she can think, both like metaphorically and literally, is drop him.
Ray.
So, as we all know, Ray never knew his parents. But he knows that this is not the type of relationship that a parent and a child should have. And I think Ray just feels sad. Like, he never knew his parents, but this is somehow worse.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, Max.
Max categorizes every person in the world as either, like, someone to be protected or someone to be, like, basically a lover or a rival. Either they're someone to be protected or somebody who he's going to have to prove himself to. And because of their history, Elliot had sort of been in that rival category. He's somebody with a lot of power. And in this moment, Max recategorizes him as someone to be protected.
Promise.
So Promise is a fairy. She's very much a creation of nature. So she's not as concerned about death as maybe the other kids are, because that's just part of nature.
Mm.
And she's never liked Trace. So she's not really worried about Trace dying here, but she is very much worried about Elliot killing someone. So that's definitely the... I don't think she has words so much, because Elliot's telepathy doesn't work very well with her fairy brain, but I think he definitely knows she doesn't want him to cross that line.
Totally. Mar.
So the immediate thing that Elliot gets there is that Mar doesn't actually care about Trace. This is 100% about Elliot. And I think recognizing that connection, Mar's going to use it directly. He sucks. He sucks a lot. But you don't. So don't be like him. Be like you. Because you're better than he is.
And Ellis.
Ellis is broken right now, because what her dad just showed and what she thought he was all along are completely different things, and one of those things is ugly and manipulative, and now she realizes why their mother left. And I think it's mourning for the family that Trace destroyed. And she doesn't want him to destroy her brother in the wake of all of this. And I don't think there are words for that exactly. She doesn't have a word for him. I'm sorry.
You just feel the feelings. And in this moment, Elliot, you are up against the ceiling and he is sniveling. He is pleading. He is throwing all of his cards on the table. He's gripping his throat, hoping that you don't just drop him and end him right here. And he is willing to give you anything to spare his life, because really that is the only thing that matters to him paramount at this point. What do you do?
I think it's going to linger on like his word salad thought bubble of just, you know, please don't drop me, please, please, I'll give you anything, please, you're my son, please don't drop me. And then Then I shall spend my last burn, because Elliot is going to move. Again, at a mirror of how he and Mar moved into the prison lift.
Yep.
Looking pretty badass. Effectively, he's doing that double fake out where he's just going to drop them both out of the sky in order to stop, like, you know, 5-6 foot off the ground. Mm-hmm. Enough to put that absolute fear into Trace that he'd just been dropped. And then he's just going to say, I don't want anything from you, Adam. And you don't deserve anything from me. And then he's going to drop him.
Right. Perfect. And he, like, feels that mini drop after that full stomach lurching drop that you just took him on safely. And then you let him go to the floor. And he just hits the floor, curls up into the fetal position, and puts his hands up in, like, surrender. Like, please, no more. Please, just, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. I'm just sorry. Like, I did that. And he just, like, is just sniveling, curled up in a ball. And this man has moved mountains with his words. He weaponized his charm. And he is just a sniveling ball of pathetic on the floor in front of you. And in that moment, everyone who has been thrown to the ground during the fight is able to stand and look around at the damage and to look around at what you were able to do, at the group of heroes that you are. No one is dead. You maintained your heroic morals. But you look around and you see Source Error on the ground. You see Seeping Willow over in the corner, oozing. You see the Bloodermancer. Well, you don't see the Bloodermancer. He left. He peace. But you look around and you see the Repeat Offender with, like, encased in a flaming whip. And you see Adam Trace in a sniveling, crying ball on the ground. This man that has held such a lofty place in Ellis and Elliot's history. And he's just pathetic. And in this moment, all of you are heroes. All of you have neutralized threats. You have defended each other. You have supported each other. And you have all sacrificed. And in this moment, you feel that group dynamic of, like, confidence and pride in each other. That you took this on as a team and won. And then the bougie elevator doors open. And Police Chief Myrna Justice comes striding through because she figured it out. No one was abducted, those sneaky kids. They snuck down to the most dangerous level of this very high security prison that apparently anyone can get into with enough time and energy. And she just walks in with her horde of people ready, like her horde of officers ready to neutralize the threat. But she walks in and everybody's already on the ground. And she looks around and she looks to all of you, but specifically she looks to Roberta, the one person she knows. And she's like, did you do all of this?
Ugh, I've had it with this woman. I don't know.
Yeah, she's not great.
Roberta just kind of looks up at her and goes, no. But we did it.
And she's going to, like, look kind of half-heartedly around at the problem she wasn't there to solve for a bunch of kids. And she feels that guilt. And she just turns to her subordinates, her officers, and she's like, get them back in their cells. How did this one get down there? And she points at Trace, who's in a ball on the floor. And, get him back upstairs. But level 3, you kids are pretty special, but I'm sorry you had to do this alone. Let's get you back upstairs. And she kind of inclines everyone to head back to the elevator. You all start to make your way towards the elevator, collecting yourselves in whatever ways you can. And Elliot and Ellis, you have this moment where you see your dad being picked up off the floor, and he's still crying and shaking and like just speaking nonsense defenses of himself and his behavior, trying to get back that sort of debonair suave he had before. And the two of you are next to each other. Is there anything you'd like to say to each other?
I think in the moment before we go back up top, like, it's going to look like Elliot wants to speak to Alice, and I imagine she'll approach, but, like, Elliot's hand is still visibly shaking, and he's going to just hold on to, like, Mars. He holds hands with his best friend, and is going to, like, walk out, but is going to, like, be looking at Alice as if waiting for her to speak, but knows that in this moment, everyone is still kind of, we're very close and we're very fraught, and kind of it isn't the time.
All right, so you're holding Mara's hand and making this kind of eye contact. Alice, did you want to say something in response?
She's not going to say anything. She's going to think something. And she's going to... She is her father's daughter. She's going to echo a memory that they had together. It was like something stupid in the kitchen. The kitchen. And Elliot's baby talk at the time, where he said, I did a bad. She's going to think the words, I did a bad.
Oh.
But he's right, the time for fighting is not down here. Right. So.
And you start to make your way to the elevator, and we see Max and Ray walking to the elevator together.
Max is dragging Artie behind him. He's the one making sure that Artie gets out of the basement.
Thanks, buddy. You're always here to help. Oh, by the way, I got to give this to you. I meant to give it to you tonight, but then we got distracted with everything. And he reaches into his coat, his lab coat pocket, and pulls out a round object that's about the size of a small mouse shield, and hands it to him. And the shield is solid black with a logo of a centurion's helmet in the center that's almost the color of like Damascus steel. It's nano Kevlar mesh that's got a layer of graphene on the top. Pretty indestructible, kind of like you. You can't be Shield Mouse without a shield.
Max takes it and tries, you know, puts his arm through the little loops and like gives it a little bit of a swing just to test the weight for a second. And he sets it down and he crawls. He doesn't actually do his little jump maneuver. He just actually crawls up Ray, probably at some point gets assistance. And I think the panel I would love to have is he ends up in like Ray's two hands in front of him, and he like gestures, and then we just get a panel where they press foreheads together.
Everyone gets in the elevator, and you all file out into the hallway and walk out into the crisp, cool, early morning air, and you all decide to go different places, or home, or wherever you'd like. So, one at a time, we'll go through where you're going after this. Sasara, where are you going?
To bed.
Nice. That makes sense to me. Sasara starts walking towards home. Max, where are you going?
We get a scene of him walking through the city a little bit, and then it ends on him looking at this semi-burned out building with police tape around it, and it calls back to an image from his origin story that this is the lab where he was created, and he's just looking up at it, and then that's where we end with him.
Ray, where are you going?
Ray just kind of walks around for a little while, and he ends up in an old phone booth, and he pulls out the phone book and starts, you see his finger kind of tracing the R's, looking for Ramirez.
Oh, that's cool. Roberta, where are you going?
Roberta sets out, definitely, you know, a little disappointed with her own performance and still with some, like, pent-up anger about the way that she acted. She heads in towards the city and heads to her own sanctuary. Which happens, you know, she goes through like these sets of doors in this like old decrepit building, and inside the door is the spotless music studio where her sister and her used to practice. and she starts laying plans for what steps she'd like to do next to get to her nemesis.
Nice. Olea, what do you do? Where are you going?
Was there anybody, like, on the ground level at all when we came up? Like,
no, they were all down taking care of the people you left.
All right. If that's the case, then Olea is just going to kind of stand very sullenly to the side while Ellis and Elliot work out their stuff. She's not going to say anything.
You're just going to wait?
Yes.
Promise, where are you going?
Back when Promise was first brought to Peacoy, she was provided hot chocolate on the promise that she would not run away from Peacoy. And she's not feeling great about her place in things right now. So I think she, like, walks past Elliot and puts a hand on his shoulder, and then walks past Ellis and stares daggers at her, and then she's going to go home and ask Sage if she can have some hot chocolate.
Okay. Mar, where are you going?
Mar is going to give Elliot a hug.
Okay.
And then kind of look back over at Ellis. I know you're mad. I promise you, she feels just as bad as you do. Be nice. I'll see you at home. And then Mar is actually going to go home.
Beautiful.
And Elliot's just going to say, kind of to himself, but mostly to Mar, no, I know exactly how she feels.
Ellis and Elliot and Olea off to the side, waiting.
I would like to have Olea just say, like, one thing. She's going to kind of walk between them, and she's going to do this thing that Elliot hates, but Olea's going to kind of, like, put her hand on Elliot's head, ruffle his hair a little bit, and then she's going to look at Ellis and, like, pinch her really hard on the arm, just like, she's not approved. And then she's going to reach up and take her mask off and go, I don't think kids are ready for this. And she's going to walk away.
And the siblings are left. And then as the sun is starting to peak through the clouds, what do you say to each other?
Ellis is, she's going to pretend that, she's going to pretend that the joke of bringing up a past memory of them helped somehow. She's going to try it again, but I think the farthest she will get, honestly, is like taking one step forward towards him and just like reaching out a hand as if she's going to say something, but she knows her brother.
And like, we're going to get the full like mirror of Elliot being super angry downstairs at their father and go, you sneak off in the middle of the night to release our scumbag father from prison? You remember what he did to me, right? How he pushed me and pushed me to make me his weapon? Were you so desperate to be special that you'd just do anything he said? Were you so desperate to stand out that you'd do something this phenomenally stupid, Ellis? Because I've been standing out ever since Mum threw me out, and I'd trade places with you in a heartbeat. I just wanted us to have a home together, and you threw it in my face. You threw it in all our faces. You don't just get to, I did a bad and be my sister again. I didn't forgive Mum. I won't forgive Trace. And I don't forgive you.
Outstanding is MC'd by Elsbeth Denman, who can be found on Twitter at Save the Turret. Shield Mouse is played by Scott Paladin, who can be found on Twitter at Scott Paladin. Sailfish is played by Jeremy Borders, who can be found on Twitter at TayuFace. Roberta is played by Gabriella Alamon, who can be found on Twitter at CuteAndTough or on Instagram at Glenn Close But No Cigar. Ray and Artie are played by Thomas Fleming, who can be found on Twitter at DarksideVO. Promise is played by Alice Kira, who can be found on Twitter at MagicalGirlKira. Olea is played by Arielle Dubek, who can be found on Instagram at cookies.and.me. Phoenix is played by Adam Collier, who can be found on Twitter at AnimeKnight97. Ellis is played by Bree, who can be found on Twitter at LazyHoneybee and can be heard as part of the streaming crew at ItYouCrew. Elliot is played by Izzy, who can be found on Twitter at PraxisDescends and can be heard as part of the streaming crew at ItYouCrew. Outstanding is a production of the Stop Hack and Roll Podcast Network. It is edited by James Malloy and produced by Elsbeth Denman and James Malloy. Our introduction and credits were voiced by Peter DiGilio. You can find me on Twitter at Voice of Peter. All music was composed by Jim Malloy.
Masks: A New Generation is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Follow us on Twitter at @OutstandingPod.